Well, we are in the first Sunday after Easter. It's appropriate that we can continue to say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The risen Savior gives us the hope that we need in a very complicated world to be able to navigate what that may mean and how that works out in our lives. This is actually part one of an four-part series to start with, and we have another four that will come later on in the summer. But we're going to be talking about life. It's complicated. And now for all of you who'd say, well, amen, brother, somebody finally noticed that it was really complicated. And it is. Life is hard. Life has so many different things. As an adult, you just feel all these different responsibilities, financial and relational. There's so much to learn. There's so many things to do. And if you're a kid, it's even worse than that because everything's changing and you're changing. Your body's changing. You're learning so many new things. You have new relationships, all this stuff. And it's really complicated. It's really hard to put this all together. So we're going to be looking at some of these complications. We're breaking them into eight different aspects. We're going to be looking at government and powerful institutions to begin with. But I think Calvin and Hobbes gives us some insight here. The world is a complicated place, Hobbes. And Hobbes then says, whenever it seems that way, I take a nap in a tree and I wait for dinner. I personally think that's a fine philosophy. May not help us a whole lot, but I think that that's a beginning. So here's probably what your week looks like. For some of you are probably saying, oh, well, that's just a circuit diagram of a recorder, so what's the big deal on that? But probably for most of you, that's what your day looks like, if not an hour in your life. It's almost like advanced mathematics. I sometimes wonder, it's like, you know, that stuff doesn't really go together, though it's just more gibberish up there. But that's what it looks like, and that's what it feels like. Everything's so complicated. It's that kind of mathematics that goes beyond our understanding. And you look at that and you're like, I'm a little overwhelmed by the complication of all this. And life, it's complicated. We're going to be looking at four things to start with. We're going to look today at powerful institutions. Next week, we're going to look at powerful people. And these are some of your toxic people, some of the antagonists, some of these people who have some positional power sometimes over you, or at least if they don't have it, they try to exert it. Then we're going to look at dangerous people. And then we'll look at the most dangerous person in your life. That would be you. And self-sabotage, because we do all kinds of things that are dangerous to ourselves and destructive, and we'll be looking at a whole host of things there. By the way, we're not going to be able to cover all this because life, it's complicated, and we don't have that much time, and my complications are different than yours. And if you're 14, or if you're 34, or if you're 84, it's very different in the situations that you find yourselves in, your health and your finances, all those things. So we're going to look at powerful institutions today. And I think this is probably the most frustrating because you really have so little influence on changing those institutions. Now, I will say we live in a relatively free society, so you can have some influence, but often the sheer magnitude of the institution prevents you from having really significant power at some level, yes. But for the most part, how do we deal with these powerful institutions? And so we look at government, look at our own government, but there's other governments that are out there, whether Britain or China. We look at universities and schools. I think this is Yale there, or maybe an elementary school. I mean, that's a powerful institution. Just ask any little kid, they'll say, oh, yeah, there's a lot of power there, and sometimes a real pain for the kids as they're trying to navigate this powerful institution that they've been thrust into, and as soon as they figure out one grade, then they rip them out of that grade and put them in another with a whole other set of teachers and sometimes another set of schools and everything else. And it makes life complicated if you're a fifth grader going into middle school or an eighth grader going into high school. All those kinds of things are difficult. Businesses are powerful institutions. Now, I will say that less so for you, the kids, but more so for adults as we deal with businesses, you enter into this powerful institution freely. I will make a reference from the scriptures about slaves and masters, although sometimes you might feel like a slave on this. But in general, we live in a free society. You freely contracted with this company. But once you're in that company, in that business, that institution has authority as a part of that contractual situation. And so as you go through business, it can be very complicated as well. And we've got two different aspects that are important as we are going to look at what the scripture has to say about this. We're going to be talking about a question of authority. Who is the authority and who is in charge? Who is the one that I'm responsible to? But then we also need to ask this question, are we ready to question authority? Because there is a place, there is a time when you must go against and defy the authorities that are there. I think it's rare, and I think that you need to be very careful about that and to do so with respect and honor. But there are times when we will question authority, especially when it goes outside of its God-established bounds and is asking of us something that is ungodly, unbiblical, and immoral. We have to say no to those powerful institutions. And we'll look at that. But defying authority, the established authorities, that's going to complicate your life. And this is nothing, I'm not going to give you anything that you don't know. And hopefully for most of you, especially for you young people, you should probably learn from adults that the more you mess with powerful institutions, it's really hard to win on that. And so you're usually better off, and the scriptures would say that we should submit to the authorities. We'll look at that in a minute. But if you defy the established authorities, well, let me show you. If you're speeding along, say you're going north on Sterling up to Nebraska, and you're driving really fast, you're going to a funeral, and the policeman comes down, as soon as you hit Nebraska, no police before you hit Nebraska, all of a sudden they want to have a conversation with you. that will complicate your life. We won't talk about that in any detail. Okay, this will complicate your life. If you don't pay your taxes, I don't know about you, but I think that will complicate your life. And it'll complicate it a life a lot. And in fact, just filling out your taxes is pretty complicated. And whenever you're dealing with these powerful institutions like government, you're going to be dealing with some complicated things. But if you don't obey them, not a good idea in my book. If you don't, if your emissions aren't up to date, that'll complicate your life. For all you kids, I put this meme up here. Tell me more about why you didn't do your homework. I'd love to hear it. You know, it's like, you don't turn in your homework. I can't tell you how many, I don't know if the girls do this, but I can't tell you how many boys I know of a certain age group, usually from about fourth through about seventh grade, that typically they do their homework and then don't turn it in. It's like, I'm sorry, you're about to find out about a powerful institution that has to do with your life. Anyway, not doing your homework will complicate your life. And this is sort of a classic. Could you stay late today? That'd be great. And I can't say it the way he did, but it's so sometimes at work we find things that if we don't do what they say and we don't comply at some level, our life could complicate it. And I was able to find this picture of the inner workings of a mechanical watch. Now I have an Apple watch and it's pretty complicated, except it's not as good a picture because you look at the inside and you can't see how complicated it really is. But here's the inner workings of a very fancy watch. And what I want to tell you is that complication isn't necessarily a bad thing, because what happens is that, I mean, you think about the world, think about your own body, and you think about just the complications of a car. I mean, I was down at the Denver Auto Show with some guys, and I mean, beautiful, wonderful cars that were down there. They're really complicated. And I personally, we looked at some older cars, and they were nice, but they just weren't as cool as the brand new ones. They're really complicated. But the problem is that when they're broken, they're really hard to fix. You have to find a really good mechanic to be able to do that. So because for most of us, we can't even change our own spark plugs anymore. The complication comes about when something is complicated and it's broken, then we really have problems. So it's better not to break it. And so that's what we find ourselves when we deal with governments and we deal with these powerful institutions. If we break the laws and the mandates that are given, that will complicate your life. We'll see that sometimes that's appropriate, but for the most part, not so. Defying established authority, going to complicate your life. Here's the beautiful one, is that we need to start with the final authority, the ultimate authority, the one who has the supremacy that we talked about, Jesus. He, when he rose from the dead, we talked about it last Sunday, that he was victorious. He was the King of Kings. He is not just one of many authorities. He is the ultimate authority. And this is what the scripture says. It makes it explicit and as clear as can be. All authority, Jesus says, in heaven and on earth has been given to me. If you go back to Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about returning in all of his glory and all the angels with him, and he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people. And this is where he's judging them. Separate as one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. At the end of this chapter, he then gives the sort of the totality of it. Then they, the unrighteous, having been judged, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So when we're talking with Jesus and talking about Jesus, because if you're not talking about Jesus, you're off the subject. If you're talking about that, he is the final authority, the final judge. And I think we struggle with that, especially when we say, well, I don't know what he's trying to tell me. And we're like, open up your Bible, read the Word of God, because that's his authority that he has left with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is typically our response. Most of us, even if you're like me, that's in my 60s, that's really my attitude. You know, you're not the boss of me. Actually, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. They didn't like God being the boss of them. And they said, I want to do whatever I want. And they wanted these to do something different. I will just tell you, sin sort of complicates things. Complicated Adam and Eve's life and all of their descendants. But this is really the basic heart of humanity is right there. We really don't want the complication of a final authority and then sub-authorities underneath that and all the complications. We'd rather just be the ultimate authority ourselves. That's our sin problem. See, when we defy the authority, we're in real big trouble. But I've got good news for you. Confession is good for the soul. What did we just say? If we say we have no sin, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I mean, why would we live in deception? That's just as stupid, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even that unrighteous attitude of defiance that we find in our own hearts. Any of us who raise children, we know what that defiance looks like when it is unfiltered by very young children. As we get older, there's more filters and more subtleties to it. But this is pretty much the way most of us think about these powerful institutions. How do we navigate this? How do we get from one place to the other? How do we work in this? Well, here, let's look at what the Word of God has to say. Romans 13. It was read to you before, but I want to go through it quickly again. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, and at this point, you're ready to just tune me out. Submission? I don't submit to nobody. I'm American. And Americans don't submit to no one. We don't even dip our flag at the Olympics. We hold our flag straight up. And I'm not going to submit to anybody. But that's not what the final authority, Jesus himself, has said. His word says, you and I, we who are disciples of him, are to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which is God has established. And at this point, we get a little irritated with God because depending on where you are politically, you may or may not like the previous administration, the existing administration, all these other stuff, and all the parts and pieces that are a part of it. And you're like, well, if God established it, it must be wrong because I don't like it because somehow I'm the final judge and arbiter of all these things. Anyway, the authorities that exist have been established by God. That's encouraging because God is sovereign over all of these powerful institutions, whether schools or businesses or governments. All of these things are established by God. He knows what's going on in your life and how you're supposed to relate to those authorities. And in fact, he wants you to be under those authorities for some reason as he works it out for your good. Going on, consequently, he who rebels, see that's the difference between submission, against the authorities, rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who who do so will bring judgment on themselves. We don't want to be on the goat side. We want to be on the sheep side. We don't want to be with the unrighteous. We want to be with the righteous. And they'll bring judgment on themselves. For the rulers hold no terror for those who are doing who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? If you want to have a less complicated life without fear, then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. I mean, the word of God says pretty much you defy the authorities, then yeah, you should be afraid. Don't be surprised if you have a complicated life, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, and actually the word there in the New Testament is minister, just like I'm a minister. This is the same kind of word that's used here, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary, here it comes again, and we don't like it. I'm not saying what I don't think is going on in your own hearts here. We don't like this next sentence here. Submit to the authorities, not only because of possible judgment, so fear is one motivation, but also because of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, and today is the 8th, you've got a week, plus I guess you get till the 17th, I think, this year. Pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And, I mean, I've watched this over the previous administration, there was a lot of disrespect. In the existing administration in our country, there's a lot of disrespect. And we're like, well, wait a minute. The Word of God says we need to honor them, respect, and pay as we owe in all of this. So that's one part of the Word of God. The next thing, and then there was, we look about how complicated our life is. This passage from Ephesians 6 is more for workers. And again, you're not slaves, but there is sort of a connection here between workers and employers and employees. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. So my thing is that how many of you actually think of your employers as someone you should obey? Now, you are in a contractual situation, you can pull yourself out. It's different in that. But with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. And it gets real clear here. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. That changes everything. If you go to work for Jesus every morning, that might change your attitude a little bit, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free. That's an encouraging thing, that if we don't complicate our lives by defying and rebelling against authority, we're going to have much more blessing in our lives. So, again, complications all over the place. Let me give you one more passage of Scripture, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. So I had the search committee stand up. They were very embarrassed to do so, but I appreciate that you did. You should pray for those people. Actually, as people come up for communion, as you're singing, you should be praying for them. You may not know their name, but ask God's blessing upon them. Pray for all people, the ushers, the praise team, all these people that are a part of our worship, and the people that are at your school, the people at your work, I can't use that word. It was a bad word. The guy who's driving inappropriately. Whatever name you put with that person needs to be prayed for. So you pray for all people, for kings. Now, we don't have kings, but we have presidents and governors and others, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Now, I have to say, several months ago, Pastor Oaks prayed by name for President Barack Obama. And I had several people come up, and they were complaining because they didn't like that he used his name. And we pulled out this Bible passage and said, he's just doing what the Bible says. We're supposed to pray for those who are in authority. And so today, we'll pray for by name for President Donald Trump. And so the people who are mad before will be happy this time. The people who are happy this time will be mad before. And so everybody will be offended because you don't have a submissive heart. You have a rebellious heart. The more that you got irritated, either by the one or the other, just proves my point. Your life is complicated because you're unwilling to submit to the authorities and pray for them. But let's look at this peaceful and quiet lives. That's where the uncomplicated life comes in. When you just say, I don't like the previous administration, the existing administration, the future administration. And I'm not saying you have to like them. They actually may be doing things that are inappropriate and wrong or whatever, but you should be praying for them. And when you pray for somebody that you do not like, what happens is that rarely do they change, but your heart changes. It's very interesting. See, not all earthly authorities stay within their God-established boundaries. This is where we sometimes think, well, then, if they're not doing the right thing, I can just do whatever I want. Doesn't work that way. You can go against authority, but there are consequences to that. But when there is an improper use of authority, we are called upon by the scriptures, if they are acting in a way that is hostile to the Christian faith, hostile to you as a person, and it is wrong, the Word of God says pray for your enemies, love your enemies, do good to your enemies. So that's your Christian response. It will confuse them greatly because they're like, why are you doing that? Why are you going that extra mile when I made you all this stuff? See, disobedience to authority happens. And in many places, you must disobey the authorities because they've gone beyond what the Word of God and what God has established. They're doing something that's wrong. Now, if you are in a position of authority, I have another sermon for you, but I don't have time to do all that, because what's your responsibility as being in a position of authority to those under you? But here, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. So we always go with the highest authority, which is God, then the lesser authorities and lesser authorities and lesser authorities. So in this case, the religious leaders, who were also civic leaders, they had told the disciples not to talk about Jesus. And they're like, well, you got to be talking about Jesus all the time. So that's what they had just gotten miraculously released from the public jail. They went back out to the temple, started preaching about Jesus, because if you're not talking about Jesus, you're off the subject. And then they get dragged back to the Pharisees, and they're like, hey, we told you not to do this. And they go, well, you're wrong, because Jesus himself said, go and make disciples and baptize and teach. And so that's what we're doing. We have to obey God rather than men. But having said that, that doesn't mean that you will somehow avoid real life unhappy consequences. You will be thrown into jail. Or could be. You could be beaten and flogged and crucified and burned at the stake, torn by, think about all the martyrs who defied the authorities because they had to do that which the ultimate authority said. It will complicate your life when you defy authorities, but you always have to do that which God calls you to do because he's the final authority. So I don't know, that pretty much looks like my life sort of looks a little bit like that. Probably yours isn't much different. And so next week we're going to be looking at powerful people, people who are really hard to get along with, and how we deal with them as we go forward. So we're going to have in our prayers our governing leaders, our schools, teachers, school teachers, our employers and bosses, our parents. I didn't get to talk much about that. Also, I want to, we'll pray for, actually I'll include 4 o'clock tonight, we have the choir concert. It's going to be here tonight, and we'll pray for them as well. But also for Pastor Oaks and for the search committee. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with President Trump, and that you would watch over him and his family, and that you would be with all of our federal leaders and our state leaders as well, governors and mayors and all those who are charged with leading and governing this community and this country. We ask that you would have them be able to be within the bounds that you would have for all authority, and that they would acknowledge you as the ultimate authority. We ask that you be with school teachers and administrators and all those who are charged with the care and education of our children. May they be wise as they share the information that is necessary for these young people to be profitable and productive members of society. We ask you, Lord, that you would be with all the parents, and especially we ask that you would be with our search committee as they are looking for a new children's ministry and a youth ministry minister as well. And also to be with Pastor Oaks and his wife and family as they consider the call to Gethsemane. Give to them wisdom as well. All these things we are bold to ask them because we bring them before you, the King of Kings. You are sovereign. You have providence over all things. And so we know that you will work all things out for our good so that we might be conformed to the image of your Son. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.